I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I know there's a spinoff, but the spinoff is going to be like kind of, there's going to be elements of the mythology there, but like it's not going to involve any of the characters from the show.
Younger kids need teachers too, though.
Oh, dude, if they were going to be back in Hawkins, man, I'd be fighting for a part for sure.
Can we talk about the mass psychosis known as Conformity Gate?
Yeah, I would love to.
Hey guys, welcome back. Happy 2026. You're starting off on a, well, anyway, hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
Only a little.
Did you all have a good holiday? Well, by the way, we'll get into what we did over the holidays. We do have a guest this week, surprise guest, because we just lined it up yesterday. Lizzie, you got it all put together, so why don't you tell us who our guest is this week?
It's Randy Havens, who plays Mr. Clark in Stranger Things, and I'm super excited about that.
That's a pretty big role on that program, correct?
Yes, yeah.
But he plays Mr. Clark on Stranger Things, and you guys are going to have a great interview with him because I haven't watched it.
I knew it, I knew it, I knew it.
I knew it, I knew it, I knew it!
No, I did not give you your Christmas present, Lizzie. I did not watch it, but I did watch other things.
Okay, great.
We are joined this week by actor Randy Havens, a familiar face to fans of Stranger Things, where he brought science teacher Mr. Clark to life. With a career spanning film, television, and voice work, Randy has built a reputation for bringing quirky, heartfelt characters to the screen. We'll talk about his journey as an actor, the stories behind some of his fan favorite roles, and what it's really like working on one of the biggest shows of the decade. Randy, welcome to the show. Now, it's very nice to have you. Congratulations. This is a very successful final season. And is there a movie? I don't know. Is there still a movie that's coming out?
No. So what it was the finale episode. Just had a series of screenings on like New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Awesome.
So you could have, you know, watched it at home or gone to the theaters to see it. And I think a lot of people went to the theaters because it was, you know, you get to have a communal experience, right? You're like, oh, these are all the people who are watching this show in their houses. And we all get to come together and watch this show together in a theater.
Yeah.
When you showed up in season 5, there was an audible cheer from the kids in my house.
Awesome.
Yeah. They're like, he's back. And then when they brought you into the fold, that was exciting too. Finally.
Yeah. Yeah. That was something that the Duffer brothers were excited about as well. And me too. And they basically, like, you know, they were like, the people have been asking for this the whole time, so now we're going to give it to them. We're going to let Mr. Clark go to the Upside Down.
Do you think he had a bunch of aha moments, like, as he was going through? Because they didn't really, like, explain it to him. They just had him along, and he was experiencing it as it went.
Yeah, I'm assuming at some point, because, like, you know, there's a point where Mr. Clark's like, how could he be under this? And Mike turns to Priya and says, you didn't tell him? Or Erica, Priya, who plays Erica. And Erica's like, tell him, no, I haven't told him anything. And I'm like, tell me what? And so I'm assuming, like, at some point in the next, you know, before we cut to, like, the next scene, he goes, okay, guys, what's going on here? And then they, you know, they're like, oh, there's a real alternate universe and monsters. And maybe they explain. Obviously, they
I thought
don't
it was great that they kind of didn't. I thought it was great that he was just going through and like seeing the things.
Yeah, he's very much going with the flow.
Yeah.
And ironically, your character is the Mr. Exposition when it comes to explaining the alternate dimension. You kind of took everyone through that through the whole series. With the flea and the chalkboard and everything else, so
and the
it was
magnets,
kind of, yeah, and yeah. The magnets. So it was good that you got to experience that yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, as an actor, exposition is so hard, right? Because you don't want to just be explaining something, right? Because that can get, you know, monotonous. Like, you're just like, oh, this is just a show where people explain things to each other. So in order to like make exposition something else, you have to have a reason, right? So Mr. Clark, the reason was always like the students come first, right? Like he wants his students to have like a passion for learning and to have an interest in being curious about the world. And I think he kind of backs himself into a corner with that philosophy, because, you know, I'll have students call him at 10:30 at night to say, teach me how to build a sensory deprivation tank. He'll have his kids showing up to his house at 5 a.m. You know, Joyce will come interrupt his miniature painting time. But it's just like, this guy will like do anything to like foster curiosity about the world. And obviously it gets him into some shenanigans this season.
Well, my sixth grade science teacher, I had the misfortune of living in my neighborhood. So anytime I caught a fish or found a weird animal or whatever, I would knock on his door. Sometimes he'd come to the door with a plate in his hand. Oh, how you doing, Tim? Okay, yeah, that's great. All right, see you in school tomorrow. Mr.
Yeah, I mean, teachers, right? Their job never stops.
Yes.
But did you have a teacher growing up that you wanted to base that on? I mean, I know you're from Atlanta, so I mean, yeah. you actually went to high school at that high school.
Right.
Correct.
Oh, so wild.
So did you have a teacher that you used as a framework for this, or an amalgam of different people?
I did, and it is the funniest thing in the world to me. I've had some great like drama teachers over the years. But the teacher that sort of like clicked for me that I had was this guy. His name was George Hanna. George, if you're out there, God bless you.
I'm a huge fan of him.
George Hanna taught business law in high school, which was an elective. And I was like, oh, this is going to be the most boring class ever. But this guy made it so exciting and so much fun. And he would just do these cheesy things. Like, he would have the top 10 big dogs list. And the top 10 big dogs were the students who had like scored the highest scores that week. So it made you kind of want to do good in the class. And then like, he always had like funny stories as well. And, you know, I would always come in with my like Charles Bukowski book, and he'd be like, oh, Bukowski. Oh yeah. Bukowski. Hankshinsky. Yeah. Post office. That's a good one. So he was crazy. Mr. Clark's not crazy. Mr. Clark is very gentle, but like, I took that sort of like, okay, this is, you know, like that sort of attitude of teaching, of being like, I want to make this fun for everybody.
How was it working when they were kids, you know, at their youngest in that show, working with the child actors? And then was it hard saying goodbye when you see them all grown up?
I would forget that they were kids. But then I would see something and I'd be like, oh, my God, these are children. Like they had like a PA that was there, and his job was basically to keep them entertained.
Aww.
And so he's playing like games with them, and he's like doing like having like quizzes and stuff with them of like fun stuff. And you sort of get to see like, oh, they're now they're playing, like these are little kids playing. I passed them one time. They were on the playground at the school, and they were just playing on the playground. And I was like, literal children.
Aww.
But to me, they're like my coworkers.
Yeah.
And they're all very good at their jobs as well. So the fact that they were like tiny professionals really throws you off. And then yeah, I think I went in for a table read for season 3, and I Suffin, and we were talking, and he was like as tall as I was, and I was like, oh man, like when I met that guy, he was like, you know, tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, seeing him all grown up, and then over the summer I was at a bar, and they came walking down the street, and I just like looked over, and they were like, oh shit, Randy. they came over and they were like, oh, can we sit with you? Can we have a drink with you? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And they go to the bar and get beers. And I'm like, they're fully grown adults.
back around 2016 or 2017, it must have been 2017, right at the height of the beginning of the phenomenon. I was working part-time in Cabbage Town. And whenever I would take a break, I'd go out on Carroll Street and have a cigarette. And one day, Charlie Heaton walked by, and I was watching the show, but I just stood there talking to him. He was like, hey, man, how you doing? We were both having a cigarette and talking. And then I realized toward the end of the conversation, oh, this is Charlie this is Jonathan from Stranger Things.
Right.
And then I went into, are you familiar with that area?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went into Little's to get something for lunch, and Natalia was in there. And it was just so it was surreal to see these people. And David Harbour would always be at the bar down the street. And, you know, every once in a while, maybe Winona, but I think she lived in the lofts for a little while they were shooting it. But it was just sort of cool to see these. And, you know, I can imagine you in a much broader way having to react to them growing up, because Charlie was grown up, I guess, back then. But he was still, what, a teenager?
I think they were. I think all the older kids were like in their 20s.
Okay, okay.
Because they're all 30 now, I think. So they're probably like 20, 21.
Okay. Well, still, that's jarring.
Back then. But yeah, like in the final season, I think most of the cast lived in Cabbage Town.
Oh, they did? Okay.
So it was something that, like, I think over the years, because I know, yeah, Natalia and Charlie were, I think, I know they were over there early. Winona was over there in the early seasons as well. So I think they just kind of fell in love with that neighborhood and were like, we all should live in this neighborhood so that we can all like walk to each other's places.
It's a cool little neighborhood.
That's so cute.
And then I know Finn and Gayton were actually roommates. They were in a house together.
Oh, wow. Well,
you've been in Atlanta your entire career?
Yeah.
Okay. As far as the things that you've noticed, the ebb and flow of business that's in Atlanta, do you still think that it has a life left?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. 100%. The previous 2 years, previous 3 years were not great. We're pretty bad. 2003, we had the strikes. So basically nobody worked. Even go back to 2020 when you like with the pandemic, it was like, okay, well, nobody's working then. Like, I think I didn't work for 10 months. Yeah. And then things get back 22 were really good. 23 with strikes. 24, I feel like there was a bit of retaliation from the producers because they were going into negotiations with the Teamsters and IATSE, the crew union. Mm-hmm. And I think they didn't want to deal with any potential future strikes, so they moved a lot of production overseas. I think they did that in anticipation of going into negotiations with IATSE and the Teamsters as a negotiating tactic. The thing about like super rich, giant megacorps is they don't mind starving you to get what they want, right? Yeah. Like we'll take enough away from you to where like you're going into this negotiation hurting. And I think that's what they did in 2023, and it continued, you know, through 2024. I was lucky that I got to work in 2024, but then 2025 was pretty bad too. I am seeing a lot of movement in the industry now, and I think things are. I think now that the sort of contract negotiations have settled down, that we're seeing a little more production come back. I don't know that it will be, you know, like the heyday. I don't know if Marvel's coming back, But I mean, like, when you talk about those big, huge movies, like those Marvel movies, they're not really hiring local.
No, no, they filled Trillith with the people of the world. They didn't use the Atlanta base for that.
So yeah, I'm not really like stressing like that, because it's like, oh yeah, no, they're only hiring local for like, you know, one line roles. So if you're an established actor, you don't really like want to get an audition for that, because they're, you know, they pay scale and they only hire people for tiny roles. So
and still, it's amazing that two of the most successful and popular and loved, I don't even know the genre, fantasy, science fiction, horror, whatever, Stranger Things and The Walking Dead,
right,
are Atlanta and
use Atlanta talent.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For significant roles.
Yep.
And yeah, I like, I know the Duffers were always looking locally. I think it pans out. I think like, you know, like it proves the amount of talent that we have here. I remember the early days, you know, it was like mostly everybody was a commercial actor. There weren't a lot of like film and TV opportunities to be had. And then when the tax incentives came through, that sort of pushed more and more productions here. And then Walking Dead was the first really big thing that happened here. And they were just like hiring local, like hand over fist. And there were like major roles in that show that you know, are from local people. And that really sort of started building this momentum that happened, where people were coming from LA. And so you had sort of like, I remember like the kind of buzz amongst like the other mainly commercial actors in town was like, they're coming there and they're stealing our jobs. And it's like, no, they're not. They're coming here well-trained.
Yes.
And we have been able to get by on our quirky looks and a sense of humor. And now we have to up our acting game. And so you saw a lot of actors like get serious about going and training at local acting studios and, you know, studying like, it's method acting, but it's not like that. Like it's like studying different acting methods.
I was happy to see Frank Darabont directed one of the final episodes.
He's so freaking awesome. That guy is the best in the world. He's so sweet. He came up to me and he's like, would you mind if my wife came over to meet you? You're our favorite character. Nice. And so she comes over and we're all just talking and hanging out and having a good time. And he is just like, I mean, you look at like the episodes that he did, episode three, that sequence, the pie sequence, mm-hmm. Where they drug the family.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And how imaginatively shot that whole sequence was, and how, like as a set piece, it just flowed so well, and the beats hit like really, really well. And like, I think there's even like a shot where the camera's kind of connected to the actor as he's like kind of stumbling through, so it kind of matches his movements. It's very cool.
That's actually my favorite episode of the season.
Isn't it great?
I think Turbo Trap. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and they also fight the Demogorgon at the end, right?
So, yeah,
and that sequence as well is just like so intricately like plotted, visually.
And Priya Ferguson's so good.
She's great. She's great. She like nails that character like to a T. Like,
yeah. And she's local, right?
She is. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's the legacy of the show going to be, do you think? I mean, obviously people are going to love it forever. And everybody will go on to do their own things like earlier. Well, everybody will do their own things, but don't you think people will get back together? There'll be reunions. There'll be one-offs, things like that.
I mean, definitely, like, I'm sure they'll do, like, conventions and stuff to bring
you the do conventions? Together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You like doing?
Yeah, it's fun to meet fans. It can be a little tiring by the end of the day.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Just talking to a lot of people is a little, like, emotionally draining. You know, when you see, like, a, you know, somebody who's like, I grew up with the show, and they're like passionate about like everything about the show, and it's like really cool to see, because you don't see that part of it, you know, getting to actually like meet someone who's like affected by the work that you do.
Right.
But I know there's a spinoff, but the spinoff is going to be like kind of, there's going to be elements of the mythology there, but like it's not going to involve any of the characters from the show.
Younger kids need teachers too, though.
Oh, dude! If they were going to be back in Hawkins, man, I'd be fighting for a part for sure. But they're not. It's not going to be in Hawkins. It's going to be like somewhere else, and it's going to be more like what this, where like the Mind Flayer actually like came from, like what it actually is, or something to that effect, like something taking place in that like realm, I believe.
I heard somebody suggest that they go the opposite direction and do in like a retirement neighborhood, like Cocoon, like, instead it. Of child actors. I was Love like, it. that could work.
You know, the Duffers are producing a show that's coming out very soon that is like a mostly older cast.
So, okay.
And I'm assuming it'll have supernatural elements to it. So I think it's called The Burrows.
Nice.
Hey, I want to ask you this. Do you still live in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Who do you hope the Falcons bring on as the new head coach?
I mean, it's got to be Harbaugh, right?
You want Harbaugh. Everybody wants Harbaugh.
Giants are getting Harbaugh.
Harbaugh's going wherever he wants to go. And that's the thing. That's the thing about it. And then you got to look, okay, who is it? You know, is it Kubiak? Like, is Kubiak going to be the guy? I want us to keep Ulbrich as the DC because, like, going from like good. Number 30, we were 31st in sacks last season and we're second in sacks this season. It's like, okay, we're doing something right on the defense. You know, I think we need a couple more pieces, obviously. I think we need a little more depth at some of the positions. But I just hope that the next guy like looks at Kubiak or looks at Ulbrich and says,
I think they're going to have to keep him because the defense was amazing this year. And you guys beat my team, the Bills, and as yeah. well.
God, how crazy is that?
Yes. All right. Next question. Penix or Cousins?
You got to give Penix a shot.
Got to give him another shot? You think he'll be ready next mid-season, early in the season?
You got to give a guy three seasons to like yeah. come into his own. And we've seen what Kirk is capable of. Like, there's no, like the ceiling for Kirk is not high,
right?
He will have occasional games where he's just on fire, but it's not consistent,
right?
So like, you know, this is the, you look at like, I think Penix and Cousins both had the same like win loss,
right?
So
jump in, Lizzie.
What? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I just noticed.
I totally agree with what you guys are saying, but like,
I know that you're a Falcons fan, and they're my second favorite team. My favorite team being the Bills. But Jeff and I have lived here, and we first moved here. I think was when they went to that Super Bowl, that first Super Bowl with Chris Chandler, and just the excitement and how well until the game, but everything leading up to that was amazing. And then you know everybody wanting them to beat the Patriots and stuff, and it's just been fun to watch. A different team. I grew up a Bills fan. Jeff grew up a Giants fan, but you know, you kind of got to root for the Falcons when you're in the city.
Yeah, and they're almost perpetual underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
Even with like amazing players, and you're just like, how are we constantly like not living up to the potential of like the on paper what this roster should be doing?
And the last thing I want to bother you with, because these guys want to ask you more. I interviewed Finn last year. Talking about Hell of a Summer, that movie that he did, which I actually enjoyed quite a bit. And my nieces thought I was a rock star. I just sent my sister-in-law a screen grab or an image of this. Would it be an imposition to say hello to Abby and Carly? Because they love you.
Hi, Abby and Carly.
Thank you. I feel dumb.
My son was trying to be in on this interview.
Yeah, Lizzie had to kick him out of the house.
I had to send him away. I don't think that'd be very professional. He's like, will you tell him I said hi? So yeah. Alistair says hi.
Hi, Alistair.
There you go.
Can we talk about the mass psychosis known as Conformity Gate?
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to put.
Okay, great.
It's all your fault for being in the TikTok video.
Yeah, well, we hid some clues in there. So Conformity Gate is not real, obviously. Lizzie, do you want to explain what Conformity Gate is?
So, I guess the theories, like fan theories, it seems like to me there are some people that weren't satisfied with the finale, I think. But they have these theories and they go through and they're connecting the dots and they're saying that there's going to be a final episode in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Tonight. Yeah. There's going to be an episode 9 in about 20 minutes. And like, if that happened, like I would shit my pants, but I don't think it's happening. I think people are having a hard time coping with the fact that it's over.
I think there's a lot of that. And I think a part of it too, is that there is a subsection of Stranger Things fans who wanted, Mike and Will to like,
oh yeah, Byler, yeah,
be in a relationship. And so the Bylers kind of went crazy when it was obvious that that's not going to happen, and they accused the show.
I knew that wasn't going to happen. Right. Everybody knew that wasn't going to happen, I would think.
There were accusations that the show was queer baiting, which would be like teasing the potential of a romantic relationship between like same-sex characters, right? Right.
Yeah.
Like Riverdale, I think, was like doing it all over the place. With like girls, like cheerleaders, like doing sexy dances together and like almost making out. And it was like, well, Stranger Things has never done that. Stranger Things has never even teased the possibility of a relationship beyond friendship between Mike and Will.
I mean, in season 3, Mike even says, it's not my fault you don't like girls. They get in a fight.
Yeah, and that's the really tough part for Will. Because obviously Mike doesn't mean it like that, right?
Right.
Mike's kind of saying you don't like girls yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I don't think it was like a homophobic attack on Will. I think Mike was just like saying that. But it hits Will in that way, right? Because he knows that he doesn't like girls in that way, and so that's a really tough moment for that character. And I think, you know, people always wanted Will to be happy, and it was clear that like Will like had feelings for Mike on, you know, some level, and I think their ideal situation would be like that those two might be in a romantic relationship. But the show never promised that. The show never even teased that.
Well, there's also people on the opposite end that are like, oh, it's woke propaganda, but it's like, sure. Will, this didn't just happen to Will. Right. Like ever since season 1, they've been hinting at like he's different. Like his dad even calls him the F word, you know, yeah. Lonnie does in the first season. So
yeah, there's a couple of references in the first season.
Yeah,
the bullies even like say some pretty cruel stuff. So yeah, it's not like and it's like the idea that like that's shoehorned into the show, right? So literally you had like the homophobes on one side and the Bylers on the other, and they teamed up to like review bomb the show, and it was like, okay, well, I mean, good job.
Yeah. Well, it's like they absolutely picked it apart and then said, oh, but they did it for a reason.
Right.
You know, and it's the secret 9th episode. Yeah,
so here's,
they're gonna release all the footage that they didn't put on. We're gonna have to rewatch the whole season. Like, there's so many theories.
Yeah,
there's like people in basements with red strings, like, you know, connecting the dots.
Yeah, it's definitely the Charlie Day. Yeah, I think there were a couple of things, right? Like after the finale, or after season, or after episode 7 aired, everyone was saying there's a secret cut of this that cut out a bunch of stuff. And it's like, well, that's not true. They were like, Netflix made the Duffers cut all this stuff out. And it was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Netflix trusts the Duffers to like make the show that they want to make by this point in history. So that was the first like sort of cope, right? And then the second one was, oh, there's actually a secret episode that's coming after, because here are all these clues. They're actually, like, living in Vecna's world. Like, Vecna has, like, trapped them in a fake world.
And broke the fourth wall, and we're trapped in there, too.
Right. And he's given them this perfect life. And they're like, oh, no, here are all these clues. They're like, these two props are different. This thing was painted in another way. And so, yeah, they imagine that the real battle with Vecna is going to come in this next episode, which is airing in 13 minutes. So we got to go, guys.
Yeah.
We got to go watch.
And this all boils down, if the Snyder Cut had never happened, I don't think it would have had the energy that it has now.
Right, right. It's like, well, there was actually a Snyder Cut.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, there are obviously, like, cuts that I want to see. I want to see the David Ayer, like, Suicide Squad cut.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I want to see the Suicide Squad that he wanted to make. Which we didn't get, obviously.
I thought the Snyder Cut was better than the original release.
I enjoyed the Snyder Cut, and I thought, aside from the aspect ratio, which I was like, come on, guys, I'm watching this on my TV.
Yeah.
Like, you literally know I'm watching this on my TV, and you make it IMAX format, and I'm just like, why? Why? You're not showing it in a movie theater. But I thought it was like kind of the, because it was like in the pandemic times, right? So I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, this is like a 20-hour movie.
Yep.
That's separated by chapters, so like as soon as like it gives me a chapter, like I can pause the TV, I can go like and make dinner, I can do other stuff, I can come back.
I did that with Frankenstein.
I don't think I paused that once.
Well, I had to go to bed. I have a 5-year-old.
Right.
But I everybody around me that I work with, or a lot of people that I know, oh, it's terrible, blah, 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 it's garbage, it's CGI, da, da, da. And I push all that out of my head, and I just turned it on, and I was hooked immediately, and I absolutely loved it.
It was beautiful.
Great cinematography, mm-hmm. and colors, and sort of true to the book.
I mean, that's my favorite adaptation of that.
Yeah.
For sure.
The acting was phenomenal. Like,
yes, it was. Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz was great. Jacob Elordi was just like, he's just constantly, I'm like, this guy's too good to be that handsome.
I never remember the actor's name, but I just call him Mr. Filch.
You want to come in and sit down and have something?
Yes, 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 that guy. I don't know. Like, oh, he's from David Game of Bradley. Thrones, right?
Yeah,
David Bradley.
Yeah,
there you go.
I killed all of the Starks. Caitlin Stark.
I love that actor. He's one of my favorites.
He's great. He's great. Like really, that he's got that great character actor face.
Yep.
He's got that. He's got that voice that you do so well.
Thank you.
It's like it comes from like the bottom of your throat.
Yeah, and it doesn't mess up my voice unless I do it for more than a minute.
Imagine how he feels.
Yeah, no kidding.
Go back to your houses.
I conflate everything. Do you guys have any more questions? You probably got to get going.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to talk about upcoming?
A lot of things are up in the air right now, so can't really talk about anything. But hopefully,
social media. You can plug your social media.
Hopefully I'll be around soon. I'm most active on Instagram. It's Mr. Randy Havens on Instagram.
Start pitching Netflix the Murray Bauman, Mr. Clark spinoff where you guys are buddy cops.
Yep, exactly. Mr. Clark and Murray moved down to Miami and start a detective agency.
Nice.
We hope you'll come back and do the show.
Man, I would love to. This was so much fun. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Now I have to watch it. So I guess I'll start with, I'm just going to do the whole thing. I'll just binge the whole thing. I'm going to watch season one all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Hey, Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by the Punchline Comedy Club in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner, the Punchline remains Atlanta's longest running premier comedy nightclub, where you can get a huge slab of cake or pancakes to satisfy any cravings you have while you're laughing. Coming up at the Punchline, January 9th through 11th, Troy Bond. January 15th through the 17th, Greg Fitzsimmons. January 18th, Robin Shaw. January 22nd, Karen Freehan. January 23rd through the 25th, Jason Chaney. January 24th, Leslie Lau, who I have interviewed on the podcast. You can find it on your favorite podcatcher. And January 30th through the 31st, a comedian we've had on this program, Steve Byrne. Patreon members returning this year, brand new year. Keep an eye out for our weekly post offering you a chance to win a pair of passes to an upcoming show. Go to punchline.com. And check out all the shows. I'm really on top of things. I watched Superman, the new one, the most recent one. I thought I would hate it, and I ended up loving it.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
Even the goofy ending with, spoiler alert, Supergirl showing up. She was able to get out of Westeros and don her Supergirl outfit. No, it was fun. The dog, it was just fun. That's what I love. Superhero movies that are fun. They didn't overuse the jokes. It wasn't gag after gag. There was some good dramatic acting. And all around, I thought it was a good movie. And I also watched One Battle After Another.
Yeah.
Based on Jeff's recommendation, I think. And it was really good as well, except I didn't like the ending because I thought it to be predictable and kind of dumb. But otherwise, I thought Sean Penn was amazing. I thought Leo was amazing. And of course, I thought Benicio del Toro was very, very good.
No love for Jim Downey?
Well, of course, Jim Downey, that's a given. Anything he's in.
We put it on, and Al had fallen asleep in her bed. And
not an Al.
I had to turn it off because if he had woken up during some of those scenes, yeah. I was like, we got to turn it off.
You mean like when Sean Penn got violated?
Well, as soon as I saw his boner, I was like,
I'll
turn it off.
Not a kid movie. But I mostly over the holidays, right before Christmas and then even after Christmas, I watched old episodes of sitcoms. Somebody put a whole bunch of them on YouTube. I watched Bob Hope special from 1977 or 78. It must have been 78 with Mark Hamill, and they did a goofy Star Wars thing and Olivia Newton-John. And I thought when I started it was going to be terrible, but it wasn't. I forgot that in the 70s, Bob Hope was still sharp. And then I started a book. I finally finished my umpteenth trip to the Dark Tower and forced myself to listen to book 7. I hate it less every time I listen to it. And then I picked up, what's his name? Joe Hill?
Yeah.
Joe Hill, who's Stephen King's son. His latest book, King Sorrow, which I'd been seeing on the subreddits about the Dark Tower subreddit. There's some vague references to it. Not even vague, I mean, in the first part. But I have a hard time with that narrator. He's done a couple other books I've listened to, and sometimes you can't distinguish the characters until you get to the...
He doesn't do characters really well, but he's got a nice voice. He sounds kind of like Bill Hader.
Yeah, he's very chill with his voice, but sometimes you can't tell who's talking, and I had to go back and listen over and over again. And that doesn't mean he's a bad narrator. It just means that, you know, like, you get used to Stephen King books being narrated by George Whedall or Frank Muller, and those guys are character masters, you know. But I was speaking of audiobooks. I finished I finished the sequel to Selfies called Fabricants, and the book is out now if you want to read it. But the audiobook will be out soon, hopefully. Hey, Radio Labyrinth has sponsors. In fact, we have two delightful sponsors I'd like to tell you about right now. The first one being our longest sponsor, Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is the place to be, proudly serving you the best pizza and euros in the city. They're the place to be this fall. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Their featured selection for fall is Scofflaw Brewing's Oktoberfest. Come out and enjoy a tasty ice-cold brew and some fantastic food made fresh to order. And I can attest to that. Their food is amazing. I'm talking about some of the best gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and Saturdays from noon to 9 p.m. And they are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia, and that's always fun, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Their food truck is also available. So if you're interested, call Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your private or corporate event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around. Thank you, Mike. And for all your business and continued support. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Yeah, I want to hear about Lizzie getting sick at Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got like 2 hours of sleep that night, which I probably caught some germs from like church or something the night before. I don't know. But we went, you know, we open presents. We have his parents over. We do brunch. And then we go straight to my mom's up until like 11. But I was at my mom's and I just like fell hard, like sick. I was like, I gotta go. So I got really sick. And then Bella got sick. And then Alistair got sick. And then Jones got sick. But we were all better by New Year's Eve. Besides a little cough.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
Did you get the super flu or was it just a cold?
I think it was just a cold. I think it hit me harder because of my lack of sleep, though.
Oh, yeah.
But so. Al's temp went up like 104.
Oh.
Yeah. But it only lasted a few days. But it sucked for those few days, by the way. It sucked. And, but yeah, luckily nobody in my extended family got sick. So that's good.
My wife had the week between Christmas and New Year's off, and she actually got sick, but I didn't, which was weird. And Gil had been having a cough, but he that's sort of gone now. What he has now is, I don't want to go to school. That's what he has now.
Yeah, we're dealing with that too. Even though it's homeschool, it's like, dude, your world is so much easier than waking up at 6 a.m. Like, you know, we're both having a hard time getting back into it. I miss Christmas. I miss the break. I miss it. What'd you guys do New Year's?
Oh, on New Year's Eve, I watched Jeff Richards, former podcast guest, comedian Jeff Richards, and Fred Stoller do a live stream with 8 to 10 other people.
Who was he? Was he himself?
Oh, yeah. He was just being himself.
Oh, okay.
I just noticed that they were live and they were just talking, and then they kept letting some lady on who was talking about weird stuff, and everybody in the chat was just like, shut this woman up. And I kept going, hey, Fred, anyway,
what was she talking about?
I don't even remember. It was just a lot of how much she loved them and how she kept repeating all of her, she's neurodivergent and stuff like that.
Gosh.
You know, these kind of things. And not making fun of that. I'm just saying that she kept sharing that, you know, some younger people have a tendency to overshare, but I was just fascinated by it. And I'm sitting in the carport, you know, we did fireworks early before Gil went to bed. And I love watching him with fireworks because he's all excited when I light it. And then he runs away. And covers his ears, and then he goes, do another one. But it was just surreal. And Richards is just laughing the whole time, and he gets up and leaves, and this woman is foisted on Fred Stoller. It was just something to watch. And then I ended up, what did I do? I watched some clips from I'm very exciting because my wife had to work the next day. She went to bed. No, she didn't, but she went to bed. I ate a bunch of food, and like at midnight, I recorded two neighbors or in the vicinity of my neighborhood had fireworks, like real mortars. You know, you live in Georgia, you see those everywhere now. Everybody has their own, you know, boom, 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 and explosions. But I just did a panoramic video because it was like I don't know, maybe just it sounded like we were being bombed. It just
all the
same. But what else do we have to talk about? Jeff, you went to Nebraska. How was that?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I went to bed early on New Year's Eve, though, because I was getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to drive back on New Year's Day.
How long of a drive is that?
14 hours.
Oh, wow. Does, like, family?
Yeah, my mom's family lives there.
Okay.
To mom's side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a long drive, dude.
Did you do it by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the... Did you drive through a legal state?
I did.
Yeah? How'd you do?
I just bought a couple edibles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You gotta go to a legal state. It's the only way to...
Get them all before you get out of the state.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. I guess you had time to listen to King Sorrow then, if you're driving 14 hours.
Yeah, I listened to most of it. I had already got several hours into it before I left, and then I listened to it the whole way up until I stopped for the night. And then I started the Tom Steve Dave Christmas special after that,
nice.
Which was eight hours long. So I listened to that the whole way, the whole and rest why of the were way
you
up.
Why were you listening to that?
We were supposed to be mentioned on there. We ended up getting screwed.
Yes, we did.
You too?
No, the Radio Labyrinth was supposed to be mentioned.
Oh, why? Why? Who was going to mention us and why didn't they?
Ming. And Ming ended up being in the hospital and not able to be on the show that day. But Ming was going to mention us.
Yeah, every year they do the Christmas special, and it gets longer and longer every year. But they do these games, and the contestants for the games, in order to, because they do it to raise money for people. So, like this time, it was two different families that are dealing with cancer, and instead of picking one of the two, they split the Bandcamp proceeds from this podcast with those families. And that was the reason me and Jeff was like, hey, we'll sponsor Ming for his part of that. And so me and him pitched in and sponsored him. And he was giving me updates on his drive. He's like, I'm listening. I'm 3 hours in. I haven't heard anything yet.
Well, that sucks. But he got well enough to go to the final game at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff, did you post any memories of breaking your nose at Highmark?
No, I did not.
How'd you break your nose?
Doing a whip it.
Yeah, night trip.
Stop. And you fell over?
Yep.
I was tripping. So,
and you didn't do whippets? You were just tripping.
No, he was like, just going
to stick to one. He was doing both.
Yeah, we both fell down at the same time, and Jeff...
Oh my gosh, y'all are idiots.
I was tripping, and I remember his face hitting the ground, and it was like a Rocky movie when his face bounced up and the blood shot out of his nose. And then I had one of those dumb do-rags on my head, so I was like walking around trying to find ice.
Well, I was gonna say, what did you do after that? After like blood's,
well,
like, you're a little freaked out, right?
I wasn't freaked out. I was just like, because
I mean, what about Jeff?
Well, he was, his nose was broken.
Yeah,
I was fine. We went to the show and everything.
Yeah. 10,000 Maniacs open for them. You can watch that entire show on YouTube right now. Run and find it at Rich Stadium at the time it was called. Oh, gosh. How about you, Dustin? Now that we have a little bit of time left, if you want to share your holiday, did you have a good one?
Yeah, it was, I usually get the December off from work. So I did, new house stuff to do around here. So we spent a lot of time with the kids just, me and the boys doing stuff. And we had the fiasco of ordering a television that was kind of like the family gift to, because since we moved into the house, we didn't really have a living room TV. And so we got together, got this TV, we ordered it, thought it'd be great to have it shipped because it's kind of a big one. So we didn't want to try to get it ourselves.
How big is it?
85 inch.
Yeah. That's
oh my gosh.
Nice.
So we bought the wall mount and like a sound bar and everything to go with it. Everything that comes with it came in 48 hours. However, and we ordered it on the 6th of December. The TV didn't show up until the 23rd. We watched it go from Jacksonville to Indiana to Chicago and then back down to Atlanta. And we were like, what is going on? And And so we finally got it. It got here. The guy backed the truck in, brought it in the house. We opened it up, and it was just busted all the time. So we were like, screw this. We just went and bought it at the store and brought it home ourselves. And it did fit barely in the van, and got it all set up. So we spent a lot of time just, you know, watching movies, the 4K collection I've been collecting, cool. building up. But we watched the new Rian Johnson, Waking the Dead Man.
Wake Up Dead Man.
It was really good. I enjoyed it almost. It was probably my favorite one of the three, just for the acting. I mean, every actor was just top notch in that movie. And then we rewatched Weapons. And it's crazy. I didn't realize the first time I seen it that the gas station is like right down the street from where Wong runs up and you know, tackles her and that whole thing. And I'll get gas there. And so it's like now when I get gas there, I'm like constantly looking up that hill to see if anybody's running down. But yeah, just again, that movie was so good. But yeah, it was a lot of, after the, from Christmas to New Year's, it was, you know, just a lot of food that I should have put, you know, not eaten. But so yeah, by the time I started back work again, which is, you know, walking 5 or 6 miles a day. Yeah, this week's been kind of rough because I hadn't done shit for a month. It was fun.
I ate a ton of food. I made the Jeff's cookies. I made those and gave them to our neighbors, and they're a huge hit. So,
nice
eating. Do you ever try that blueberry thing I made, Jeff?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I made that too. So it was nice. A lot of fun. My dad got me a bunch of cool stuff. I got a cool Paul Lind, out of print Paul Lind book. I can't wait to dive into that.
For Christmas dinner, my cousin made this really good seafood lasagna with like Alfredo sauce
and shrimp
and crab meat.
Crab with a K or real crab?
I think it was the artificial stuff, but they made it taste like real crab.
It was good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Nice.
Sounds
good. I've never heard of that.
Jeff, can you get the recipe and you'll make it for us?
Yeah, I'll find the recipe.
All right. Hey, before we go, I want to remind you that you can become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. How about that? Radio Labyrinth listeners, you radios, you can support us for the low, low cost of $5 a month. Only $5 a month. That's it. That's the only tier moving forward. You can keep it where it was before or lower it to $5, whatever you want to do. And this is aside from the executive producers. If you're paying more and want to reduce it, go ahead. Tariffs are hitting us hard.
No, they're not. I mean, they're beautiful. The economy's great.
And for anyone on the fence or looking to support us, make sure you add your address to the Patreon profile so we can get it and mail you a thank you letter and our latest sticker, which all went out last week. And for the executive producers, we'd love to have you join us as guests on Radios in the Dark. So far, we've had Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza in Euro and another special guest coming up soon. But it's your show, and you help us keep it going with your generous donations, and we'd love to have you join us for the live Patreon show, Radios in the Dark. For $25 a month, you become a producer, an executive producer, that's your title, and you'll get a sticker, a shirt of your choice from our merch store, and a weekly shout-out on the show, plus the aforementioned opportunity to sit in with us while we record the live Patreon show. So without any further ado, let's thank our most recent additions to the producer column. Pat Squatch Talk Turner, and I will give you a plug for your podcast, Squatch Talk, Pat Turner, Scott Augustine. We also have Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much for supporting us. All right, guys, thanks for sharing. Happy New Year to all of you guys, and Happy New Year to all the listeners, the radios out there. Thanks again to our guest, Randy Havens. And everybody go watch Stranger Things if you haven't seen it yet. I have to get on that last season. I'm just going to do all of them in a row. Thank you to our great sponsors. We want everybody to have a great 2026. We'll be back doing the live show next week. Please remember to rate like, review, all that jazz. Leave comments. Please leave us comments on YouTube. We love to read them. But if you're a listener and you're just into the whole audio thing, please rate and review us and do all that stuff. And, you know, go ahead and go subscribe to the YouTube page. Unless anybody has anything they'd like to add, I would like to remind you to
keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio labyrinth. And we got a rocket like we're still young kids. Yeah. Laughing at the world. But jokes never fade. Never fade away. And at the radio labyrinth, we'll never be swayed.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.